Janice is going to come forward and just read our text for this morning. Mark, sorry, there's one more right down this aisle over here. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, ma'am. Thanks for your patience. We're going to do a text that's perhaps well known to some of you, Luke 10, 38 to 42. We'll be on the screen in front of you, but you're encouraged always to follow it in your Bibles. One of the things that I realize as a pastor that for a lot of people, the only time that they will actually read Scripture for themselves is on a Sunday morning. We hope to shift and change that, but please do read with us. Open your phones, your tablets, obviously a Bible in paper format. We'd love it if you read with Candice, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Thank you.
Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her."
Thank you. So I'm going to ask Peter to put an image on that will be quite familiar to us South Africans at this point in our story. I was looking for an image, and then I came across this one of the two boys, and I realized that I had really been missing out on something over the last 3 months. I've got bucket shoulder from carrying buckets out every single day of my life, and I've never asked my sons to do it. Well, I can tell you something's going to change this week. Someone came up after me in the first service and said, "That's child labor." I don't care. My oldest son is off to hostel tomorrow. You can be thinking of us. It's a bit of change, but the two younger ones, well, shame. That's going to be Timothy and Benjamin in the couple of weeks. So buckets have become quite familiar. It's an image that we recognize, and so I thought I would kind of tap into that imagery that's part of our lives to ask you a really important question this morning, and that is, how full is your bucket? How full is your bucket? Your personal emotional capacity bucket. Is it full? Is it just brimming over like the one picture in front of you? There's just this constant stream of life-giving water that's just filling up your bucket. Do you feel energized this morning and just full of it? Or are you half? Or are you running on fumes? Or as someone said to me this morning, there's just dust in the bottom of my bucket. There's just powdery dust. You see, we all have buckets, or a bucket that we draw from that fuels our lives. It fuels our relationships, it fuels our capacity, and it fuels our general sense of well-being. When it's full, then we find ourselves being creative. You'll know what I'm talking about if you've had a full bucket. You're energized, you're loving, you're engaged relationally, you're playful, you're alive. That's what a full bucket does to us. But when it reaches absolute zero, then we burn out. And so do our relationships. Hear me when I say this. When we reach an empty bucket, we burn out, and so do our relationships. And the scary thing is that I suspect that many of us in this room this morning are running on fumes or on empty. And yes, it's the start of a year, and we've had a holiday and all the rest, but we really are running on empty. When Brent and I talk to people, the kind of words that we hear are exhausted, overwhelmed, stressed, overscheduled, too busy, anxious, and dissatisfied. Those are the kind of things that people are saying about the state of their lives. And so we're going to start a six-week series next Sunday, which is called Simplify, because Brent and I kind of feel that that's God's call for us for this series, just to cut the excess in our lives, for some pruning to happen, and for us to simplify our lives. And so please join us for the next 6 weeks. But before we enter into that series, I want to do some important groundwork with you. I think if we don't do today, then the next six weeks don't make enough sense, or to me anyway. And so I want to just talk about how full our buckets are. And before I do that, I just want to pray. Would you bow your heads? Jesus, this morning, before I even preach, I want to confess on behalf of all of us that we need you. I want to confess that we are all in this room struggling in some ways with some stuff. I want to confess that there are probably very few here that have full buckets. And so you said that you are living water, that you are the bread of life. And so would you use this short time, would you use scripture to open up our hearts and to do some really important work in our lives. I pray that this service this morning will be year shifting for some of us. That will just change the rest of our year because of the important work that your Spirit is going to be doing here. And so we want to say we're open to you speaking. We're open to you, Jesus. Amen. So there are three questions that I'd like to cover this morning as we deal with how full your bucket is. The first is a full bucket part of the gospel story? Is a full bucket part of the good news of Jesus Christ? And I'll unpack that in a moment. Where are the holes in our buckets and what fills our bucket? Where are the holes and what fills our buckets? So the first question then, is a full bucket part of the gospel, the good news of Jesus? Now, this may seem like a strange question, but I've reflected quite long and hard on this. Is this idea that we are meant to take care of ourselves not just a wealthy Western capitalist idea? Is it really part of the Jesus story? Is it not that we're just the kind of people who have adopted that idea and like the idea that we must look after ourselves? There's been millions of books written about how we can look after ourselves. It's very popular, makes a lot of money. But is it part of Jesus and his story? Not sure if this kind of sermon would be preached in the poorer rural part of South India, for example. Don't know. It might be. I suspect possibly not. So it's an important question. Is this part of Jesus? Does the Bible not teach that we're supposed to give our lives away? Does it not teach that we're supposed to sacrifice all for Christ? Does it not teach that we're supposed to put others first at great cost to ourselves? These are all the things that teach on Scripture. And so are we supposed to take care of ourselves? And so to answer that question, I want to look primarily at the life of Christ. We could look at the whole of Scripture because there are a number of passages that teach us in this direction. But I will look at Jesus because he is our Lord and Master and example. And so when I look at the life of Jesus, I see that he lived a frantic, busy, cluttered, noisy, demanding, people-filled life. If you've read the Gospels in any way, you will see that. Jesus' life was full. It wasn't easy. It wasn't just casual strolling along with little happening. Jesus had a full and busy life. And yet, he did seem to take care of himself. Jesus did seem to take care of himself. And just a few scriptures to help us. Mark 6:30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to his disciples, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. So it's an interesting passage because what's happened is Jesus has sent out the disciples in twos and they've gone out and they've healed the sick, they've driven out demons, they've raised the dead, they've preached the good news of the kingdom of God and they're coming back and they're giving their feedback. Now, if it was a normal business meeting, I can imagine, okay, how many baptisms? How many people did you raise from the dead? Okay, 17, that's awesome. How many demons did you drive out? 3,700, just the statistics would be coming out. Jesus doesn't seem to do that at all. The text doesn't talk about that. What it talks about is Jesus' concern for the well-being of his disciples, their emotional and physical well-being. And so they're tired, they're hungry, they come back from a long trip, and there's people around them, and he says, whoa, stop the bus. Let us withdraw to a quiet place and get some rest. He's concerned for those he loves. Mark 3 verse 7 very simply says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake. In the context of the short verse is that Jesus has been teaching and healing and fighting with religious leaders and crowds of people were following him everywhere he went. It was a crazy, busy, people-saturated, conflict-filled season in his life. And it says simply that Jesus withdraws. And he does so to a lake. And I don't know about you, but water and lakesides symbolize calm. Rustig. Do you find that? I do. Sit next to a river, walk along the beach, any body of water, and something just, it's just like, water does that. It's a beautiful symbol, isn't it? And so he takes them next to a lake and says, come, let's just go and be quiet. Let's go be quiet for a while. He refreshes them. And then Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, the news about Jesus spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Jesus pouring himself out for others, and yet we are told that he withdraws so that life might pour into him. We have the saying in ministry, you can only give what you've got. Does that make sense to you? That's quite obvious, isn't it? But it's true in life. You can only give out of what you've got. So if you've got nothing, or if you've got little in the sense of resources and capacity, then you can give little. And so Jesus withdraws it. That Greek text, I'm not a scholar at all, but I kind of looked it up this week, and you can use the word retreat. You could use the term slip away. You could talk about going back, and you could talk about retiring. Those are all the word there is, can be used in those different capacities. Retreating, slipping away, withdrawing quietly. And so Jesus seemed to know the importance of filling his bucket. And then we get that great text for today. The clearest teaching we have in Scripture about this, Mary and Martha. And so part of Jesus' bucket filling schedule is that he stops off at some friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, has a meal with them. And while this meal is being prepared by Martha, we can see the picture of her scurrying around. I mean, think about it. Jesus visits your house. Think about it, ladies. Jesus visits your house. Are you going to be sitting on the stoop with him? I suspect, I don't know, probably not. In the kitchen, oven's going, kettle's boiling, putting some meal together, feed the Son of God. And so Mary's doing that. She's scurrying around all over the house. And I can picture her passing the dining room and giving Mary the evil eye every now and again. Help me, I'm not coping a little bit. And Mary only has eyes for Jesus. And it gets to the point where Martha just can't cope with it anymore, so she pulls out the big gun and she goes up to Jesus himself and says, Jesus, you tell her to come and help me. You tell her to come and give me a hand. Not coping here. Scripture says she's worried and she's upset and she's distracted. And Jesus looks at her with all the love that I can imagine he could muster and says, Martha, Martha. Can you hear the tone? Would you hear the tone in your mind of how Jesus would be speaking to her with love, gentleness, and compassion? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Do you hear those words? You are worried and upset, church, about many things. And with that same tenderness, he says that Mary is doing the one thing that counts. Mary is doing what matters, and that's Mary sitting at his feet. He says, Mary has chosen the better way, and it will never be taken away from her. Sitting at my feet, hanging on my every word. It's one of the clearest teachings we get from Jesus and from Scripture, that there's a need for us at times to stop running around, stop being distracted, stop worrying about a whole bunch of stuff, stop being upset, and fill our buckets. Fill our buckets. It seems taking care of ourselves is a gospel matter. You see, God knows that we are far more effective in his kingdom if we have full buckets, when we're energized and creative. He knows that. But even more important than that, God knows that we are far more relationally engaged when our buckets are full. He knows that when we have full capacity, then our relationship with him is better, the relationship with our family is better, the relationship with our neighbors is better, and God is after relationships. He is a God of relationships. And so he wants us to operate at such a capacity that the relationships in our lives are flourishing and are blessed by our participation in them. So I want to ask you a question, and how relationally engaged are you? How full is your bucket? How full is your bucket? Second question. So where are the holes in our buckets? Life is of such a nature that we can't prevent or avoid holes. Happens, but we can minimize them and we can manage them. There doesn't seem to be any point in talking about filling if we don't cover the emptying. So what drains you? Can I ask you this morning? What drains you? What drains you? Think about it. Answer for yourself. What are the things that steal energy from you? Is it meetings? household chores, lots of people. Not sure what it might be for you. What drains you? Often these are things that we can't avoid, but we can bring balance in our lives. There's some that we can cut out, and there are ways in which we can, we'll talk about in a moment, fill our lives with. So after I've preached two services on a Sunday morning, I'm given of myself, and I know that I'm tired. And so Monday morning, Brent and I both take our day off, and we go and sit. Brent will climb a mountain inevitably. I'll go and sit next to some water. You can see the different personalities there. There's Brent clawing his way up a cliff and just getting filled in his buckets. That would just terrify me. There I am sitting quite sedately walking next to the beach at Melkbos. But I know that that as much as I enjoy this, I know that it does empty my bucket. For some of you, it's going to be more deep and value things that are draining your buckets. And let me give you a few examples of that. So for some of us, we just can't say no. Do you identify with that? We just can never say no to people, because if I say no to someone, I'm going to disappoint them. And I can't bear the idea that I'll disappoint someone. I can't bear the idea that you might like me a little bit less if I say no. And so some of us really struggle to say no. Some of us have a huge pang of guilt if we sit still for more than 2 minutes. That's not me, but I gather there are people like that. If you sit still for 2 minutes, it's like, oh, I've got to be doing something. This is not right. That's a great drainer of your bucket. And we have a deep sense of guilt if we're not busy all the time. For others of us, we get an unhealthy proportion of our worth from achievements. We're driven by a need to succeed and perform. That is a life killer. These are all deep issues that need prayerful attention and possibly the wise counsel of a friend, a pastor, or even a counselor. We have to work through these things. Some of us stand next to one pool with one bucket, and we think we can fill our bucket at that one pond. And so some of us will stand next to the one pond of our work. Some of us will stand next to the one pond of sport or a hobby. Some of us will stand next to the one pond of our family, and we think if we dip our bucket in there, it's going to be full. Well, I want to tell you, the Bible calls that idolatry. You see, God made it so that there's no one thing that can fully satisfy. There's no one thing that will fill our buckets to the brim. And so if you're someone who's got one bucket with one pond, then we've got some work to do with Jesus around confessing that as being idolatrous and sinful. And then perhaps lastly, some of us have buckets that leak because we are in physical pain. You ever really been in pain? It's a killer, isn't it? It just drains our life if you're in constant pain. Some of us are sick. That is a bucket emptier. Some of our relationships are really fragmented and broken. That's a great bucket emptier. And then you need some prayer. You need someone to come alongside you and pray with you. I want to say to you before I move on to the next point of filling your bucket that this process of dealing with our leaks and trying to fill our buckets is an ongoing thing. So some of you will follow, watch Formula One, the racing car pulls up in the pit stop and they've got this big hose that they plug in like 3 or 4 seconds, and they'll just fill that car and it rushes out of the pit stop and off it goes around 100 times. I want to tell you that's not how it works. You put a plug in your basin in your bathroom, and you just put the tap so there's a drip every couple of minutes. And you come back the next morning and there's a little bit of water, and you come back the next morning and there's a little bit more, and the next day there's that much. That's how the filling happens. It happens with a lifestyle of changes and choices that we make. So let's lastly look at what fills our bucket. What refuels you? What activities or engagements restore your energy? What do you need to do to start pouring new streams of replenishment into your badly depleted lives? What relationships inspire you? What fills your buckets? So for me, it's in nature. I indicated that already. I'm in nature. My bucket just fills up. For me, being with my family is a massive filler of my bucket. When I hang out with my boys, where I spend some alone time with Liesl, my bucket just fills up. There's no doubt about that. I'm a silence guy, and so once a month I take a day where I'm just quiet on my own, Once a year, sometimes twice a year, I go away for 2 or 3 days on my own in silence, which would be hell for some of you, I know. But for me, that's just a great bucket filler. It's just silence, being on my own. I also know that I need to exercise. It's very unspiritual. But I know that exercise fills my buckets. I know that if I don't go to gym or run or do something for 2 or 3 weeks, I can feel my energy levels flag. I know that I need to drink lots of water. I know that I need 7 hours of sleep a night, and I need to eat healthily. These are unspiritual but very practical things that fill my bucket. When I don't do them, my bucket empties. But most important of all, church, what fills my bucket is time with Jesus. Most important of all, what fills my bucket is time with Jesus. It's the single greatest bucket filler in my life, and it will be in yours. Time with Jesus. If Jesus himself, the Son of God, with all his capacity, need to stop, withdraw, be quiet, and talk to his Father, then you know what? So do you. And so do I. Time with Jesus. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and hung on his every word. And Jesus said, what she did will be spoken about. He held it up as an example of something we need to follow. And I can't prove what I'm about to say, but my sense is that the vast majority of us in this room are not doing that. They're not spending time daily, regularly, sitting with Jesus. And then you wonder why you're running on fumes. You wonder why there's dust in the bottom of your buckets. You see, the person of Jesus is living water. Jesus is the bread of life that sustains. He is the only one that satisfies. He is the shepherd. He is direction in our lives. He is the doorway to everything that is valuable. Jesus is life. And so when I sit quietly, wherever it might be, and I talk to Jesus, and I worship him, and I confess my sins, and I pray for you and my family, and I open up scripture, and I read it, and I read it again, and then I listen quietly and attentively as the Spirit whispers back to me through the text. My soul is satisfied like nothing else does. There is a deep and profound filling that happens in me. You see, you and I were made for a relationship with Jesus. Not to perform for him, not to be moral people trying to lead good lives, not doing the Christian things, but for real, connectional, personal, life-giving, relationship-shaping connection with Jesus. And let me close with an illustration to get the point home. I'm going to read it. While at the park one day, a woman sat down next to a man on a bench near a playground. Looking at his watch, he called out, "What do you say we go, Todd?" Todd pleaded, "Just 5 more minutes, Dad. Please, just 5 more minutes. The man nodded, and Todd continued to swing to his heart's content. Minutes passed, and the father stood and called again to his son, "Time to go now." Again, Todd pleaded, 5 more minutes, Dad, just 5 more minutes. The man smiled and sat down and said, "Okay, Todd." "My, you certainly are a patient father," the woman responded. The man smiled and then said, "My oldest son, Tommy, was killed by a drunk driver last year while he was riding his bike near here. Never spent much time with Tommy, and now I'd give anything for just 5 minutes with him. I've vowed not to make the same mistake with Todd. He thinks he has 5 more minutes to swing. The truth is, I give 5 more minutes to watch him play." Illustrates for me beautifully that the greatest gift of all significant relationships is time together. Hear me, church. The greatest gift that we give to any significant relationship on earth or in heaven is time together. Spend time with Jesus. Amen. Let's be prayerful together. As we ask you, Jesus, to come and fill us, your children. Some of us here this morning who have lost our connection with Jesus or perhaps never connected to him, and invite you to use this little space to affirm your need of him now. You need a Savior. Someone will forgive you your sins. Someone will walk through you through life's challenges and opportunities. You need Jesus. Would you tell him that now? Some of you have just lost your way and you need to find your way back home again. Some of you on your backs are a whole bunch of worries, stresses, fears, upsets and challenges and distractions. And I invite you to just take it off your back, just to drop it at your feet. And say, "Here, Jesus, you carry this for me, please. I can't anymore." Some of you are carrying pain and you're sick. Some of your relationships are fractured or really in trouble. Come, Lord Jesus, and minister to those who are hurting this morning physically or in relationship. Come, Lord Jesus, and comfort them, those who are grieving this morning. Come and hold them tight. Heal our physical sickness. Heal our hearts. Come and heal our relationships, Jesus. And then for all of us, I pray that you would come and fill us with your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You are the life of God, the energy, the sustenance, the power of God. I ask you to come and fill us. Come, Holy Spirit. Just breathe on your children, breathe on your church, and make us more than what we are. We want to change the world in Jesus' name, but we can only do it full of the Spirit. And so come and fill us. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.